Welcome to another episode of The Knowledgeable Pet Owner with Lisa Herbel, Denise Herreau, and Chrissy Neumeyer-Smith. And this week, we are going to talk about preparing for warmer months. Right now, it is the end of March 2024, and weather's starting to get a little bit warmer, and there are some things that we think pet owners should know about. So Lisa, why did we pick this?
Well, just like you just said, there's some things that maybe pet owners haven't thought about. We're going to come at it from the point of view of a trainer and groomers. So we may have some little tidbits of information that you guys never thought of that might help you to ease your life with your pets.
And I know we've said this before, we're in seasonal areas where we have all the different, you know, changes. And springtime, oh lordy, these dogs coming in are wired. They want the warm weather too. I'm in Ohio, so we all know that. I think all of you guys have the same, you two have the same types of weather where we have those nice days and then, you know, all of a sudden it's freezing cold.
Yeah.
And these dogs are feeling it just like we are. And I think sometimes pet owners lose sight of those things. We don't think of that aspect when it comes to our pets. So one of the stories I was saying, like the one day it was cooler and it was raining and dogs were more nervous to come in and there was a storm coming. So of course there's all these different things going on. And then the next day it warmed up, it was sunny, and all of these dogs were just bouncing off the walls, walking in. I had all these happy golden retrievers coming in, jumping and coming and saying hi. And they're very affected by all of that. So this is just the start going into warm weather season.
Yeah, they get a case of the zoomies. Sometimes your older dogs perk up the same way we do. Like, oh, my shoulder feels great. This is a beautiful day. Let's go outside. Let's have fun. You know that sometimes the weather alone can make your dogs really, really super silly and happy. And depending on where you live, but like the amount of daylight, a lot of us are getting home from work and it's still light out. So our dogs are getting a little bit more exercise for some of us. Mm-hmm. I know my guys, it's more likely. Yeah, especially with the time change. Yeah. I mean, I know my dogs definitely, you know, it's more likely to, after feeding them, go out and play ball again, you know? So lots of things start to change at this time of year and it's a lot more fun.
It is.
And grooming is important because it's really muddy out there.
Yes.
All the snow is melting. Uh-huh. I love spring, but I hate spring because this is, you know, when all the little landmines in the yard are appearing that we couldn't pick up when it was snowy. Mm-hmm. And yeah, everyone comes in covered in mud.
One of the biggest questions I get, especially with muddy season, is how often can you have your dog, or just bathe your dog? Not even necessarily full grooming, but bathing. I have short-haired dogs, so they're always muddy. You can do them once a week. The short answer is you can do it up to once a week with high-quality shampoos, conditioners, and products that aren't going to dry out the coat and that you're replenishing. So you want to make sure you're doing a shampoo and conditioner. But you can bathe them as often as once a week. It's not too much. I know there's a lot of misinformation out there as far as how often and stuff. A lot of the stuff that you see is sort of old school and the products weren't as good as what they are now. So they were more harsh on chemicals that were used in them. So you couldn't do something you couldn't bathe them once a week, but technology advances and we have way better products. And your groomer can most definitely recommend the products that maybe they already use. So you know what to buy. You're not just going to the store and maybe, you know, sort of winging it. Some of the big box stores do have really good high quality shampoos. But I know in my facility, we do a lot of low fragrance stuff. And a lot of those products are marketed towards consumers. So they are very smelly. They do add in more fragrant and they could irritate your dog's skin that way too.
Yeah, because the fragrance added is purely for the human part of that relationship. The dog doesn't want to smell like flowers. They want to smell like a dog.
Yeah. But when you're using something like that, think about it in terms of it used to be that they would kind of strip the coat down. The modern products cleanse without totally stripping it. And then we add in conditioner. And you might get a good recommendation for a shampoo, but talk to your groomer instead. Not somebody at a pet store, not your vet, not anybody else, not your breeder, because your groomer knows your dog's hair. And we have a wide variety of things that we've probably tried on your dog. So talk to your groomer about what products are best. And then, you know, even if it's just a little bit of a bath, like the feet and the belly, a little bit of tail.
Mm-hmm. So that's what I was going to say. My little Shih Tzu, she's a tomboy. She would rather go run around in the mud than go in the dog run where we have pea gravel. You know, she'd rather get all dirty and muddy and wet. So there are times where she's getting a mini bath every day. But again, if as long as you're using good products and replenishing the oils you're stripping, there's not a problem in bathing that often.
Mm-mm.
And if they're that muddy, you can also just rinse them off.
Yes.
Yes.
You know, you don't need to add shampoo and stuff. If you're not comfortable with that or you don't have any on hand, you know, just rinsing them down and rinsing some of that mud off could be good enough, you know, mm-hmm. in between groomings.
Absolutely.
My guys are both border collies, and border collies are notorious for wanting to run a fence line. And so there are mud tracks. We've actually named them street names. We've got like Real Street. And you know, like, but this time of year, they just never dry because everything is rainy or snow that's melting, because we had kind of spring and then we had snow again and then we had spring again and snow again. Wait yeah. a minute, it'll be more snow. We could have snow in April. We never know.
Yeah, so, that's true.
My birthday's the end of April. I've had snow on my birthday.
Yep. Mm-hmm. I remember we had snow in May.
Yeah.
So
at least it never lasts.
Don't say it out loud. But that mud can be so frustrating. I keep towels by the door, and there's a little, it's called Mud Buster, but it's like a cup that you just basically are dipping your doggy's foot into and kind of squish some of the mud out from between their toes. We use that a lot in the warmer weather.
Or I'm sure we've all heard of instances, you know, the owner picks up the dog, lets the dog out in the backyard, and then they're instantly yes. muddy again.
Uh-huh. That's what mine do. Mine are already, I just bathed them 2 days ago and she has mud, a footprint of mud on her head from the other dog. And I'm like, awesome. Okay. And she has a white head. So there's this big old blob of mud. I'm like, okay. Yeah. There's no getting around it.
Well, and with the warmer weather too, I know that for many of us as humans, we get inspired to go and get some exercise. But it's really important for us to also think about if we're going to go for like a long hike, maybe we're in shape, maybe we're not, but your pet might not be. And so some dogs end up getting injured or getting overexerted on like that first 10-mile hike that they haven't like been out doing anything like that for a while. So be aware if you start like, hey, we're going to do some fitness, that your dog needs to ease into that.
Yeah, you might have been going to the gym all through winter, but your dog wasn't. So keep that in mind.
They've been couch potatoes. Mine don't like to go out in the cold. They mine like warm weather.
My guys run around the backyard and we train for fly ball, you know, but winter shape is not the same as summer shape. There's stuff that needs to be done.
For any of us.
Right.
For any of us. But something to think about, because it is really tempting to just say, hey, let's go for a really long walk. And your dog is just as enthused. Your dog's like, yeah, let's go for a really long walk. But halfway through that walk, they might start having trouble.
Mm-hmm.
And how far away are you? And now you got to walk back.
Or carry the dog.
Or carry the dog. Or maybe they went swimming and now they're really cold, because if you live someplace with winter, that water's not warm yet.
No,
not at all.
And I know, Chrissy, we were talking about different behaviors that may be an issue, too, with the warm weather coming up. So what's your take on that?
So one of the ones that I see pretty often is that we open up our windows and now the screens are there and every noise outside sounds like it's in the living room. And I mean, we have to adapt to it, too, but expect your dogs to be a little extra jumpy. You know, like, oh, yeah, there's a dog. That's somebody walking across the street. But all of those sounds sound like they're in your house now. And to be aware that that's just something we do every year. We have a screen door in our front door and we call it front door TV. And my dogs like to just sit there and hang out and watch, right? But we have to train for that every year again. And my dogs are now turning 11 and 12. So we still, every spring, like, hey, you have to be hush if you want to watch front door TV. Because it suddenly seems like every noise is coming right for you. Yeah. So be aware. And the other thing about screens, because this one happens a lot, especially in spring, dogs just bust through a screen because they think the door got opened and they have a clear path. And one of the things you can do at our house, we have magnets on the screen. Because you know how, like, if you put two magnets next to each other, they stick to each other? So put a magnet on each side of the screen, sandwich the screen in it, and put it at dog nose height to give them a chance to see that that door is not open.
That's also a good idea if you have an older dog, because I know my older one doesn't seem to see the screen, especially at night. She can't really tell if it's open or closed. So yeah, I'm going to try that little trick with her to see if that makes her a little more comfortable coming in and out of the screen door.
Yeah, I've had guests that were like walked into a screen door before we started putting magnets up. So
human ones,
you know, you're going. Yeah, human guests. You know, I mean, if you're going from a darker area to a bright backyard or vice versa, you might not even notice that the screen is there. So,
right.
Yeah, magnets can be really helpful. We have magnets that we keep on it, and my dogs are very savvy to it. But we also named what the magnets are. Hey, dude, there's the magnet. There's the bird, you know, and we have a couple. So there's one at Brock's nose height and one at Poe's nose height.
That's a good idea.
It's a very good idea.
And if you find that screens are too tempting for your dog, maybe you got your dog at this winter and they've never experienced spring. Be aware that a dog might pop through a screen and get out your window. Mm-hmm. And, you know, really be thinking about that. Like, is I need to supervise my dog with this screen? Because really, at the end of the day, it's a piece of fabric. Like, you wouldn't just necessarily expect a piece of fabric to keep your dog out of the road. So you might want to supervise if this dog is new to you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because they get excited. I had one, she was, I think, 13 or 14 at the time, and she had never gone through the screen door. But she saw a squirrel that was like right there on the patio, and she, I don't know if she couldn't see the screen or what, but she went right through that screen door and almost caught the squirrel.
Wuzziest squirrel.
Right, right. I mean, she hadn't done that in her 13 years, and it just takes that one time.
Yep. That's it.
And it's a piece of fabric. Yeah. You know, mm-hmm. And I think that sometimes we think about it as like a barrier, like he would never, but what if something really fascinating is happening on the other side? You know, so supervision around the screens if you've never had a dog near those.
Or cats too.
Oh yeah,
I work ER, and we have cats that have fallen out of windows because they leaned a little too hard on the screen, and the screen popped out.
Mm-hmm.
So the same thing with them.
They like to go in those little windowsills because they can fit right there. And yep.
And look at your windows, because a lot of the time we're used to thinking about raising it up, but a lot of windows, if you undo the latch, the top part can go down instead, and you can still get airflow. But now it's the top section of the window closer to the ceiling that's actually open that your dog can't reach.
Yes.
Or shouldn't reach. I can't say they won't. There are pictures of like dogs on top of refrigerators. So, but less tempting. Let's put it that way.
Yes.
My Shih Tzu climbed cat trees all the time. She sits on the back of a couch like a cat.
Mm-hmm. Or baby gates. Baby gates in front of, if you have sliding glass doors, put a baby gate up. If you can't trust, or the front door. Mm. If you're able to do that, that would help out too. If you have a larger dog.
Right.
And then that way you're still getting that airflow in. Cause let's face it. We love the nice outside. We like that fresh breeze coming in, especially owning dogs. Like, I know I like that. When they get a little doggy.
Fall winter.
Right.
Love
exactly.
The fresh air. I love the fresh air and listening to the birds. Oh, uh-huh. It's spring. It's so happy.
Uh-huh.
I'm allergic to the fresh air, but I still love it.
Well, you're allergic to everything, so you can't just be sad because you're allergic. But yeah, so thinking about the springtime, also keep in mind that there might be bunnies in your yard that your dog may be really fascinated by. Two times ago, we talked about skunks. The other furry creatures that we do not want them to be anywhere near.
The black and white kitties.
Yeah, the black and white looks like kitties. But, you know, keep in mind that the other little creatures out there, I know right now we have a lot more birds that are going to be coming back. And we have a lot of birds in our yard because I encourage that. Kind of a hippie, and I want everything living in my yard. And that can be really tempting for some of our pets. Like, oh, God, there's a bird out there.
Rabbits are really big right now in our yard. So, yep.
And I worry because I have a little Chihuahua mix who's tiny. I worry about birds of prey because we're close to a forest preserve that we often every year have a nest of bald eagles, and we have ginormous hawks flying around. So it's like when she's out there, we tend to stay out there with her to keep an eye out for that because she doesn't know to look up and run for the house if something's trying to catch her.
We have bald eagles and osprey and big birds of prey and stuff here. So, you know, they're not going to look at a Chihuahua and think that one's not on the menu.
Right.
And they don't care if other dogs are in the yard too. They'll just swoop in and grab it and they'll be gone.
Mm-hmm.
And that thought terrified me.
Anything else we can come up with? We all go like,
I'm good.
So enjoy the warmer weather and have fun this spring. Just remember to be safe. And the knowledgeable pet owner, this was Lisa Herbel, Denise Herreau, and Chrissy Neumeyer-Smith. And we are here to answer your pet owning questions. Have a great week. Bye.
Bye.
Bye.